Last Monday's funeral was superb. I think most people would acknowledge that, and the sense of ceremony and the contribution at the cathedral. And so many words have been written and spoken relating to the late Queen and the servant heart that she had towards the community and the nation. And it's been quite awesome to watch the proceedings through these days. But I found myself reflecting on a different funeral and a different death 2,000 years ago. For Jesus, there was no cathedral service for him. Though having said that, we do note that the heavens, the skies were darkened that afternoon, and the earth shook, as if creation itself knew the significance of his death on a cross. But there was no cathedral service. There was no gathering around the bedside and with family. It was so public. It was out in the open on a cross. And the crowd that gathered, many of them were cynics, many mocked, that gathered there. There was no long queues to pay the respect, 5 miles or maybe more. All we note was that there was a handful of women that gathered at the tomb on Easter Sunday. And no ceremonial procession, nothing like that at all. Joseph or Arimathea gathered the body and wrapped it in linen and took it to the tomb. That's all that was involved. They're quite remarkable, the differences. And yet today, if we went to India and went to any city in India, we would find schools and hospitals that had been established in his name, in the name of Jesus. And if we went to China and went around the different communities there, we would see buildings that were churches, and we would come across homes where people gathered to worship God in his name, in the name of Jesus. And in parts of Africa, North Africa, and the Middle East, we would come across individuals courageously witnessing and doing mission in his name, in the name of Jesus. And throughout the 5 continents, well, maybe there's more now, they keep changing that kind of number when it comes to continents, but let's say all the continents. This morning, there will be thousands upon thousands at riversides or in churches being baptized in the name of Jesus. And throughout this week, the millions that will pray in his name and will long to see in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Quite astonishing, isn't it? Quite remarkable. Out of this death of this man 2,000 years ago, such is the impact upon the world in which we live. And even as we've gathered this morning, it is to worship him and to recognize again his death and the significance of that for each one of us. The reading in Revelation, I know Revelation can trouble some people. I kind of like it, Revelation. It's almost that John, he has a vision, and it's like a door is slightly opened up, and he sees into glory. And yet, even in doing that, the seeing is impossible. The seeing is blurred. The seeing needs symbolism everywhere. And so what he sees, He can only describe what he sees in the context of a multitude of symbols and pictures. And yet what we do see through John is the risen Lord and the worship that is given to him as the King of Kings. Of every language, and every nation, and every people, and every tribe. That worship to him. And it's rooted in the work that he did here on earth. He is referred to as the Lamb. There's no getting round that. That's the picture of his sacrifice on the cross. That's back to his death, Jesus' death on the cross. So that in the text, purchased for God through the forgiveness of our sin, Jesus has achieved that, his work, still acknowledged in the context of his risen life as Lord and Savior of the world. And yes, there's much more. There's this business of a scroll, and it's simply that Jesus is worthy. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy to open the scroll, which has the whole flow of history, all the way to the judgment, the final judgment. Jesus, he is worthy to open that scroll. And the picture of the risen Lord is maybe beyond our imagination. In our first reading, it's back 60 years almost. It's back to day one of the church, Pentecost, when it all started. And Peter is out there. It's the first sermon, the first public proclamation. And Peter's out there. And at the heart of it is this death, this death of this man, yet risen. Risen and Lord and King. And Peter preaches that. It's the flow of truth of the two events. Oh, please don't separate them. We're very bad in Western culture of chipping off bits that are not quite the way we see life. It is the way as it says it is. It's that flow of his significant death on the cross into his rising into glory. Inseparable. Yes, the death can be a struggle for some. We want to polish over it a little. It's ugly. It's destructive. It's lacking any beauty, that kind of death. But that mirrors the sin in our lives, which he has come to forgive, that we might be purchased by the Holy Father, by God himself. It mirrors that in our hearts, if we're honest and if we're truthful. And the rising, yes, is that rising that is promised to us. When weary and tired bodies, when scarring by loss, when the slower walk is all gone and we are made new, completely new in his presence with those of all people and tribes and nations and countries in praise of him. I do find one similarity with the events of last Monday, with the death of Jesus. And it was that poignant moment at the very end where the orb and the scepter and the crown were removed from the coffin, the symbols of power once given to a particular person, the symbols of power now removed. The similarity is Jesus never took up these symbols in his life. His ministry was filled with authority over the wind, over disease and sickness, and people's bodies broken. He had the authority, but not the power. Power oppresses, holds down. He sorted that out in the wilderness. Remember, he had the opportunity. You have the power. We can give you the power to leap off buildings, to be the King of Kings of every nation here on earth, to turn stone into bread and feed. And Jesus knew that as the King of Kings, it was the way of powerlessness, led like a lamb to the cross, to the slaughter, as Isaiah says, his death for us, the most powerful act in all history that actually stretches to heaven and stretches to the ends of the earth. The efficacy of it does, to the very ends of the earth and to the edges of all time. This death of Jesus on the cross for us, for the forgiveness of sin, and for the life that he gives to us. It's great to know who we worship Sunday by Sunday and with our lives. It's great that we look to him alone, Jesus Christ. And so I would invite you in this service to simply sing that great hymn, "We Will Sing the Wondrous Story of the Christ Who Died for Me." We sing that song of praise.